Bible classes taught about how this world is not our home. But how many of us actually feel like we can say those words truthfully? If you're like me, we have let ourselves get too comfortable with this world around us, too familiar with the acts of this world, with the people of this world. We grow more and more comfortable with the sin that's around us. We make excuses for people in our lives when they aren't living by God's standards, and we get comfortable around certain groups of people, or we get comfortable with certain TV shows or certain words that are used or whatever it is. We just get comfortable with the things that we have in this world. And when we get comfortable with our jobs and our schools and our families, our homes, our possessions, then what we tend to do is we forget that the comforts of this world, they're not meant to be comfortable. This world was not meant to be comfortable. The only reason it's become comfortable is because it's what we're familiar with. If we really believe that this world is not our home, that we're just strangers here, then this world and the lives that we live, it should give us a sense of uneasiness. This world should give us a sense of there's something missing here. Just like when you go on vacation or you're away from those people you love, how you're longing to be with those people again, there should be that feeling when we live our lives in this world. This world should make us feel uncomfortable, and we should long for something much better. Just like a weary traveler might long for a hot shower, a hot meal, and a warm bed, we should be longing for the comforts of our eternal home. You know, God promised us a home. In John 14, Jesus says that He's going to prepare a place for us, and that where I am, you may also be, He says. It's our comfort and relief from traveling that the weary roads of this world offer. That home that God has prepared for us, that's comfortable. Sin should not be comfortable, but heaven will be. If we really believe heaven is our home, then we should be longing for it. There should be a longing to be with our eternal family, where we will get to be with God and we will get to be with God's people. We will finally get the rest that God has promised. And only then can we find what true comfort really means. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 says this: Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting comfort and good grace, or in good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. God our Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting comfort, may He comfort our hearts and establish us in every good word and work. God is the giver of everlasting comfort. And this morning, as we focus on going home, it's time for us to refocus how uncomfortable we really are here. And if this world is comfortable to us, maybe it's time to rethink what our purpose really is here. Is it to be comfortable here? Or is it to make it through this journey so we can have the everlasting comfort that God has established? Now listen, I'm not saying we can't have nice things here. And you know what? Our homes are comfortable. I love being at my home. I love being with my family. But that is just a taste of what heaven will be like. Our home is in heaven. Our eternal comfort is with God. Can you imagine what heaven will be like? We're about to sing songs that will say, "Sing to me of heaven. Sing that song of peace. From the toils that bind me, it will bring release. Burdens will be lifted that are pressing so. Showers of great blessing o'er my heart will flow." That is, it's heaven who will lift those burdens and lift those trials. In heaven, no drooping nor pining, no wishing for elsewhere to be. God's light is forever there shining. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free, fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. We're going to sing, "Night to night I come to him, I kneel before his diadem. While a thousand, thousand sing, I fall before the king. Soon he will be changing me, clothed in immortality, swallowed up in victory, and evermore to be." We're going to sing, "There is a habitation built by the living God for all of every nation who seek that grand abode." Are we seeking that grand abode? Is that where our treasure is? Or have we become too comfortable here? Let's sing like we are homeward bound and we are seeking the comfort and the pleasures of an eternal home with God.
Sing to me of heaven. No soul, sing to me of heaven, sing that song of peace from the toils that by me it will bring release. Burdens will be lifted that are pressing, so showers of great blessing o'er my heart will flow. Sing to me. Of its golden glory, of its pearly gleam. Sing to me when shadows of the evening fall. Sing to me of heaven, sing the sweetest of all. Sing to me of heaven as I walk alone, dreaming of the comrades that so long have gone. In a fairer region among the angel throng, they are happy as they sing that old sweet song. Sing to me of heaven, let me fondly dream of its golden glory, of its pearly gleam. Sing to me when shadows of the evening fall. Sing to me of heaven, sing the sweetest of all. Sing to me of heaven tenderly and low, till the shadows o'er me rise and swiftly go. When my heart is weary, when the day is long, sing to me of heaven, sing that old sweet song. Sing to me of heaven, let me fondly dream of its golden glory, of its pearly gleam. Sing to me when shadows of the evening fall. Sing to me of heaven's sweetest song of all. How beautiful heaven must be. Do me so. We read of a place that's called heaven. It's made for the pure and the free. These truths in God's word he hath given. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. In heaven no drooping nor pining, nor wishing for elsewhere to be. God's light is forever there shining. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. The angels so sweetly singing up there by the beautiful sea. The song of redemption is ringing. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be.
Number 73 in the supplement. High above the seraphim. Oh, me soul. High above the seraphim sounds an everlasting hymn. Voices echo through the hall and shake the temple wall. Living creatures bless the King. 24 elders sing, worthy who overcame the word of God, his name. Praise the seed of Abraham, all dominion to the Lamb. Sing of him in glory slain, Lord God Almighty reign. Shout the God-breathed prophecy, he who was will ever be. Kings of earth have passed away, the Son is Lord this day. Night to night I come to him, kneel before his diadem. While a thousand sing, I fall before the King. Soon will he be changing me, clothed in immortality. Swallowed up in victory and never more to be. Now, number 227 in the Red Book. There is a habitation. If you like, you may stand. There is a habitation built by the living God for all of every nation who seek that grand abode. Oh, Zion, Zion, I long thy gates to see. Oh, shall ever move a stone. Oh, Zion, Zion, I long thy gates to see. Oh, Zion, Zion, when shall I dwell in thee? No night
Gracious, righteous Father in heaven, we approach your throne with humble hearts. Thank you for the blessing of the day, the sunshine. Worship you in spirit and in truth, in song, praise, and come to you in prayer and commune our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Father. Father, we pray that we can live such a life that we'll see the streets of gold and meet all the brethren come before us, Father. Father, we ask you to be patient with us. Father, we thank you for your word, which just is a pathway to heaven. May we study it and teach it to others so when you come again, we'll be ready for you. Father, we long for your return. Father, we know we live in a world that just don't know your word anymore. Father, we pray that you be patient with them. May we our word reach them. Father, we thank you for this congregation, every member that makes it up, Father. May they put away the cares of the world, desire, and worship you in spirit and truth. Give you all our honor and glory and praise, this hour. Father, we thank for the shepherds which we have here at Main Street. We pray that they'll always strive for heaven to be in our home and doing what's right for your congregation. Father, we pray for every member, every visitor here, Father. We pray that you're giving safe travel home. Father, we pray for the ones that's been traveling, that they return home safely. Father, we pray for the expecting mothers, Father. We pray that they have good pregnancies and bring beautiful children in this world, Father. We thank you for the young people that we have here. We thank you for every one of them, Father. Don't leave none of them out. Father, we thank again, Father, we give you thanks for everything. In Christ's name.
There's something about a homecoming that is special. Have you ever been away from home for an extended period of time? And when you return home, there's so much excitement. And not only is there the longing to return so that we can get back to what we're comfortable with, but there's the anticipation of who will be there and who will we get to see. What will be waiting for us when we finally get home? I remember returning home from college for the first time, and it was an awesome experience. One, because My parents could care less where my brothers wanted to eat for once, and it was up to me where I wanted to eat because I had missed all the good food. It was fun to go to church and to see everyone I grew up worshiping with, and they wanted to hear about my time in college. They wanted to hear about friends and my experiences. But most of all, it was fun just to be home, and we still do this. If Brooke and I go see my folks, or even if they come see us, we'll just sit around on the couches. We won't turn on the TV, and we'll just sit there and we'll just talk. Even though we talk during the week, almost every day to my parents, we'll still just sit and we'll just talk, just because being together is what means something to us. Can you imagine what our homecoming will be like in heaven? First off, and I think most importantly, we'll finally get to be with God. Our Father, who we pray to. That's how Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven. The Father who we pray to, who we worship on a weekly basis, and who we live for on a daily basis, will finally be right there in front of our faces. He's not just going to be a mystic figure we wonder about. He's not going to be something that we have an image in our head that we don't really know if this is what God is, but I have this image in my head of what He might be. No, He'll be right there. We'll get to see God. We'll get to be with Him. He'll be as real as anything we've ever experienced. Revelation 21 says, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. They shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God." What an amazing thing that is, to know that God will be with His people. And this is what the Scriptures have been about since the beginning of what we know of as time. In Genesis 1 and 2, God was there dwelling with His people. That's what God wanted. But people ruined that relationship by bringing sin into this world. And now in the last verses of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, it's about how we finally can have that relationship again for all eternity. Verse 4 of Revelation 21 says, "It's God who will wipe every tear away from our eyes." Just like maybe a father or a mother would wipe the tear away from their own children. It's God, our Father, who will wipe those tears away from our eyes. Not only will we get to be with our Father, but we'll get to be with one another. You know, there's been lots of books written, lots of things written on will we know each other in heaven, lots of questions, and I know people have differing views, but I'm a firm believer that I think we're going to know each other. I think we'll recognize each other. Peter, James, and John recognized Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration. In the story of the rich man and Lazarus, they knew each other even after their death. They were able to recognize each other. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 14 through 18, it gives us a glorious scene that where it says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remaining shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words." From the sounds of it, it sounds like it's going to be a great reunion. We will get to be with other brothers and sisters who have lived faithful lives. We will get to spend eternity with people who have the same values and the same morals that we do. You know, so much emphasis is put on the morality and the spirituality of this world, and especially this nation and where it's headed. And it's easy to look at the time of this country that we're in now, especially in the election cycle, and say, well, no matter who gets elected, or one side says it's this person, one side says it's this person, then this world is going downhill. You know what? This world has been going downhill since Adam and Eve first took a bite of that fruit. And God has sent reminder after reminder that, you know what, there's a place that is waiting for us where we will get to be with people that have the same spiritual mindset, the same morals that we do, because they loved God and they lived for God. They made their goal heaven and they wanted to be there with God and with God's people. And if that's our goal, then let's make it our goal. Let's make our home in heaven. The reality of living with God and His people can be a reality. We will be with people who have all fought the good fight and finished their race and kept their faith. And one day that can be you and I too. Hebrews chapter 12. As the Hebrew writer is trying to discuss with these people that you should not go back to the old. You need to stick with the new, with Christ. He references two mountains. One is Mount Sinai, and he says that's the mountain that you can touch. That you remember from the old law, that all your stories are about with Moses. But he says in verse 22, he says, "But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel." What an amazing thing that we are able to come to. He says, in the Old Testament, you came to a mountain that you were afraid of, that God consumed with fire. He says that even Moses was afraid of, that said in verse 21, "I am exceedingly afraid and trembling." He says, this is a mountain of the old law. He says, but under the new law, you get to come to a mountain that's the city of the living God. That's the heavenly Jerusalem. Not the Jerusalem that we know of in this world, but the heavenly one. We get to come to an innumerable company of angels. We get to come to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn. We get to come to the God, the judge of all. We get to come to spirits of just men made perfect. We get to come to Jesus, the mediator. I mean, all these things, he says, if you follow this law, this is what you get to come to. And when I read verses like these in our scriptures, we see that our home in heaven, it becomes even more of a home because we're going to get to be with family. We're going to get to be with God our Father. We're going to get to be with all of our brothers and sisters, some of which we've never met before. But we're going to know them based on how they live their lives. Based on that, we get to spend eternity with them. We have come to a company of people who are all going to spend eternity together. And what an amazing thing that is. We're going to sing songs that say, "We shall sing on that beautiful shore, the melodious songs of the blessed. Our spirits shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessing of rest. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Oh, for a home with God, a place in His courts to rest, sure in a safe abode with Jesus and the blessed." Let's not forget that that's you and I. We're going to be in a safe abode with Jesus and the blessed. Rest for a weary soul once redeemed by the Savior's love, where I'll be pure and whole and live with my God above. Come, we that love the Lord, let our joys be known, and join in a song with sweet accord, and thus surround the throne. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky, but when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving each day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. One thing that you'll see in all these songs we're about to sing is that when it says we'll meet on the beautiful shore, we'll sing the song a victory, or sing and shout the victory. It all has to do with all of us together. We're not going to be doing these things individually. We're going to be doing them as a family. So as we sing these songs here on earth, let's do it as a family. A family that wants to spend eternity together.
Walking alone at Eve. I think this song suggests something that as Christians we have an opportunity to do when we have a quiet moment, no matter what time of the day that may be. Maybe after you put the kids to bed. It may be after you get home from work. It may be in the middle of the night when you can't sleep or when you have to get up early to go to work, but a quiet moment. All three verses, walking alone at eve. Do mi so, walking alone at eve, and viewing the skies afar, made in the darkness come to welcome me silver star. I have a great delight in the wonderful scenes above. God in his power and might is showing his truth and love. Oh, for a home with God to rest, sure and a safe abode with Jesus and the blessed. Rest for a weary soul once redeemed by the Savior's love, where I'll be pure and whole and live with my God above. Sitting alone at eve and dreaming the hours away, watching the shadows falling now at the close of day. God in his mercy comes with his word, he is drawing near, spreading his love and truth around me and everywhere. Oh, for a home with God, a place in his court to rest, sure and a safe abode with Jesus and the blessed. Rest for a weary soul once redeemed by the Savior's love, where I'll be pure and whole and live with my God above. Closing my eyes at eve and thinking of heaven's grace, longing to see my Lord, yes, meeting him face to face, trusting him as my all, wheresoever my footsteps roam, pleading with him to guide me unto the Spirit's home. Oh, for a home with God, a place in his courts to rest, sure and a safe abode with Jesus and the blessed. Rest for a weary soul once redeemed by the Savior's love, where I'll be pure and whole and live with my God above. Sing to in the sweet by and by. Oh, there's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father writes over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melody songs of the blessed, and our spirit will sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessing of rest in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on the beautiful shore. to our bounteous Father above. We will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallow our days. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
We're marching to Zion. Oh, come we that love the Lord, and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord. Join in a song with sweet accord. And thus around the throne, and thus around the throne, we're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God, but children of the heavenly King, but children of the heavenly King, may speak their joys abroad, may speak their joys abroad. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Then let our songs abound and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground to Pharaoh. Worlds on high, to fairer worlds on high. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Number 194. When we all get to heaven. So sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sign. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trust fasting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the cause of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. The invitation song will be number 232.
In thinking of a theme for this sermon and song, the words homeward bound sounded kind of catchy, and so I went with it, and I remembered why it sounded catchy. It's because it's the title of one of my favorite movies growing up. Homeward Bound is a movie about Shadow, Chance, and Sassy, two dogs and a cat who got separated from their family, and they weren't going to let anything keep them apart from the people that they loved. And so they went on this big journey to find their home and to find their people. And they weren't going to let anything stop them. Shadow fell into a pit that almost cost him his life. Chance got hit in the face with a porcupine. They got captured and taken to the pound. Sassy fell down a waterfall. I remember this movie like it was yesterday. I loved it. But they weren't going to let anything stop them from finding their home and being separated from the people that they loved. I wonder, at what lengths will we go to make sure we won't let anything keep us from reaching our home of heaven? Can we say that the trajectory we're on in life is one that's homeward bound? If you were to plug in home to your GPS, it would take you to probably your home, your home address. But it's time for all of us to take out our spiritual GPS and plug in home. Where is it taking you? Will it take you to heaven? Does it show that your life, that's where it's headed? And listen, that choice is up to you. It's up to myself. Where do I want my home to be? Jesus says where our treasure is, that's where our heart will be also. We read in Hebrews chapter 12 some verses about what this Mount Zion will be like. But immediately after that, he says in verse 25, he says, "See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, 'Yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven.'" Now this "yet once more" indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom, which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Right after he discusses what this Mount Zion will be like, we're going to come to this great host of innumerable angels, the city of the living God, that will be with the general assembly of the church, will be with God himself, will be with Jesus the mediator. He says, "See that you do not refuse him who speaks." We have to follow Christ. We have to follow God. If we are homeward bound and we want heaven to be our home, then we have to follow the directions that God is giving us. You know, when I drive places, I don't know where I'm going. We have all these things on our phones where we can have someone talk to us and tell us where we're going. Take a left turn here. Take a right turn here. It's to the point now where we can choose the voice. Do we want a woman's voice? Do we want a man's voice? Do we want it to be British? Do we want it to be English? I mean, we can choose whatever we want, and we'll follow those directions. We will follow a machine telling us how to get somewhere. But yet so many people choose not to follow the words of God. He is navigating us to our eternal home, yet we choose not to follow. Time and time again in the Bible, we see people choose not to follow. We even choose not to follow. But it's time, as the Hebrew writer says, to not refuse him who speaks. It's time to follow God. put heaven in our eternal GPS and let him guide us home. It's time to do that. He says, I'm going to once more shake not only the earth but heaven also. And he says, when he shakes this, now I don't know what that's going to look like, what it's going to feel like, but he says, when this big shake happens, there's only going to be one thing that's remaining. Those things which cannot be shaken. So it's time we follow God. I don't think there's any coincidence that God is referred to as our rock and our anchor. That we come to Mount Zion, things that are not easily moved and not easily shaken. And it's when we hold on to that rock and that anchor, when we approach that Mount Zion, that will not be shaken. When we follow God and don't refuse Him, heaven becomes a reality. I hope this morning was beneficial to all of us. You know, we sing about heaven all the time. A lot of those songs are familiar to us. And many times what we focus on when we talk about heaven is its beauty. We go to Revelation 21, Revelation 22. We talk about the streets of gold, the pearly gates, and all the stones and jewels. And we talk about its beauty. And we even sang some songs that talked about that this morning. And I don't want to take anything away from the beauty of it. But I think when we focus solely on the beauty, we're really missing the point of what heaven is going to be like. That the few chapters and the few verses we read at the end of the book of Revelation on its beauty, that's just the half of it. There's a great article. If you didn't pick up a bulletin, I invite you to do so. Jeff May has a fantastic article on just that. It's not the half of it. That what we read in the Bible is just the tip of the iceberg, so to speak, of what heaven will truly be like. I can just see John as he's writing the revelations that he's seen in these images, as he's writing these things down. The only things he can describe them with are these pure fine metals and gold and jewels. He's saying it's going to be more beautiful than we can ever imagine. But let's not forget that in all of its beauty, we'll be together and we'll be with God. There's an old saying, home is where the heart is. Where's your heart? Find your heart and you will find your home. I hope all of our home will be in heaven someday. And I hope we can say that all the Christians that are scattered throughout this entire world who are worshiping on the same day we are, that are talking about heaven just as we are, that are reading God's Word just as we are, I hope we can all gather together in heaven someday. And the songs we sing today, I don't know if we'll sing those exact songs, but the singing, it will be beautiful because we'll be with each other, we'll be with God. The fellowship will be beautiful because we'll be with each other. People who served God, who served each other, and who made heaven their home. Are you homeward bound? Let's think of these things. You know, if you're here this morning and you want to make heaven your home, there's one way to do that. Jesus says, I am the truth, the way, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So if you're here this morning and you have not made heaven your home, Jesus can do that for you now. And when we're buried in the waters of baptism, we're removing the sin from this life. But there has to be repentance. We have to change the life we're currently living to make our lives worthy of a home such as heaven. And you could do that. One, by being baptized, but two, by being with a group of God's people that all have the same goal. And when we have the same goal, good things can happen. If you need to give your life to Christ this morning, come forward as we stand and as we sing.